Good evening, everybody. Good evening. We got some answers, so. I heard an interesting story when I was in Eretz Yisrael. Apparently, the following happened. I can't take full responsibility for the story, but in the meantime, it's been printed already. So I saw, as Rav Melech also brings this Meisa, that there was a Yid, a very poor person, that he was struggling as it is for basic panosa. And he was really having a very hard time. But at the same time, besides that, he also had he was marrying off his first daughter, and he couldn't financially make any way of making it happen. So he was short of $50,000 to make this chasna happen. So what happened was that he then went to Reb Shimon bar Yochai's cave, he went to the Tzion of Meron, to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him. And because he was doing Oman learning in Kol, and he decided to write the Kvittel. We know that by the Chassidim, it's very mekubel to write Kvittelich. And he wrote down, he said, "Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me. I need $50,000 to marry my daughter. Can you help me? Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me. I have nowhere else to turn." And he wrote this down, he put this in a little piece of paper, and he put this in the Tzion of Reb Shimon bar Yochai. And off he went. Little did he know that there was a person behind him. He was a very rich Bala boss from America. A very wealthy individual, and he happened to be behind him, and he stepped, and as he was stepping forward, that little piece of paper, that kvittel, fell down on the floor. And although really there's a chem that by negesh, you're not allowed to read other people's letters, and that probably, I assume that includes also kvittel, you're not meant to open other people's letters. But he felt it was on the floor, he wants to know that, so he picked it up, and he reads it. And he says over there, "Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me, chasna 50,000. And this person, this Gevir, felt that it's inappropriate to write like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Baruch Hu, you don't say, you know, $50,000, please, you know, I want to marry off my daughter. So it's not respectful to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that. And he therefore felt, that it's not right to write such a request. And he therefore decided, okay, I'm going to teach him a lesson." He quickly saw that the person was still walking past, and he was able to identify the person who wrote this kvittlach. Quickly asked, "Who is this individual?" And within a few minutes, was able to identify the person and his address. Who's never met him before. He said, "You know, I'm going to teach him a lesson. This is wrong. It's wrong to ask because it's a specific request. It's not the echer. It's not respectful. It's not the right way of doing things. And I'm going to teach him a lesson." Therefore, what he decided was that He said he had a checkbook, and at his convenience, he wrote down a check. And he wrote down $50,000, but instead of signing his own name, he wrote down Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Reb Shimon bar Yochai is a joke, you know, like this. When he gets a letter in the post, he's going to open up. He's going to $50,000. He's going to say, "That's true, taka. It was the wrong way of approaching matters, and it's the wrong way to." And he was great. He was enjoying tremendously his chinuch lesson that he's going to teach this person, and that was his agenda. A few weeks later, this person, he had half forgotten about this episode. He opens up his bank statements, and he sees there that $50,000 was drawn from his account. And he gets a bit of a shock, and he says, $50,000, it's quite an enormous amount of money, even for his standards. He had a big stock account, but that was quite a substantial, nobody would know. And he didn't recognize this big donation that he had given. He didn't know, so he called up the bank, and they were able to provide him and he saw that it was actually that very check. Instead of writing Reb Shimon bar Yochai, instead of signing it, he actually, when you're used to signing things, he was out thinking, and he had planned to sign Reb Shimon bar Yochai, but instead of that, he actually signed his own real, genuine signature. And therefore, obviously, it didn't bounce, but on the contrary, the check went through. And there was no way he could put it back, because it was a genuine signature of a genuine check, with a genuine, and it was an absolutely valid check, and he went through. In the meantime, this person, this poor person, he had received that check in the post. He didn't know who that great donor was, who that goes to nothing was, who had sent min hashamayim suddenly $50,000 just in time for the chasna, and obviously he had cashed the check, and he was able to marry his daughter. So obviously, the moral of this story is, and the message of the story is that. He was the poor man, the younger man. He was absolutely right. When something hurts, you ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and there's nothing wrong with asking something very specific either. And all he wanted was to marry off his daughter and to have sufficient money for that. And here, a Kodesh Baruch Hu sent him in this particular way. And the moral of the story is that yes, Rabbi Shluchim Lamokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in many ways of providing and helping and giving sustenance to us. And as long as we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we approach it the right way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look after us. And wrong was the Gvir who felt that it's inappropriate to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this was the Mechudosh Tikkun Ma'aseh, which I never heard. Okay, I understand. The rabbi to start tonight in Siman Shin Ches, page 210, Sif Dalet. The introduction, as well as Sif Aleph Beis Gimel, is with Erti Hilchas Mukta, Kli Menashem Lachto Leise, Kli Machem Tchison Kis. Considering the fact that this is towards the end of these of this topic, Sif Vavre is a different topic, so I'm not going to go over it in great detail. I'm just going to carry on from Sif Dalet and Sif Hey, and then delve into Sif Vav shortly. Beis Hashem. So Sif Dalet tells us Kli Shel Melachto Lehetam. So I know there has been a discussion about Kli Shel Melachto Leisa, and Kli Shel Melachto Leisa. Kli Shel Melachto Leisa is a keli vessel which is normally designated and designed for a melacha which is be'isa. That's the Kli Shel Melachto Leisa. Here the halacha is that it's only mutter for gufa and mekoymoi. This is now talking about Kli Shel Melachto Leheta. What is a Kli Shel Melachto Leheta? Kli Shel Melachto Leheta is a keli which is normally designated for something which is mutter. Hope the example of a Kli Shel Melachto Leheta. A knife, or in front of you you've got a cup, a glass. Kli, it's a keli, which melachtoi is normally designated for heta, for something permitted. Drinking is mutter, cutting is mutter with a knife. And it's a keli Shel Melachtoi. His designated use is for heta. So that's a Kli Shel Melachto Leheta. Now, is it mukta or not, a Kli Shel Melachto Leheta?
No.
No. Are you allowed to move it?
Yes.
Is there any restriction to that?
No.
Seh Shel Chonoch Seif Dalet, second line, page 210. Kli Shel Melachto Leheta, keli which is designated for heta. Mota letalteloi is permitted to move around. Hafilu eino letzorich akli, shole shove ole gone. For any purpose, you're allowed to move it, even if it is for its own protection, or you want to protect it from being stolen. You are allowed to move a kli, shemelachtoi leheta, keli, vessel, which is designated for permitted use. You're allowed to move it for any purpose. Aval, but, shelo letzorich klal also letal. The only exception is, you're not allowed to move it. The only restriction is, if for absolutely no purpose, for no reason whatsoever, you're not allowed to move it. If there's no reason, you're just moving it for absolutely no reason, that would be awesome. So, kli shel melachto leheta, you're not allowed to move if there's no purpose. If you're not protecting it, you don't need the space. If you're simply moving it for no purpose at all, that would be awesome. Shulchan Aruch continues. Ramah continues. For tefillin, what about tefillin? What's tefillin considered? Is tefillin kli shel melachto leheta or kli shel melachto leisa? Says the Ramah, tefillin ein talzalom kim letzorich. Tefillin is considered kli shel melachto leisa because tefillin loves man tefillin. Shabbos loves man tefillin. Therefore, you're not allowed to move it only for tzorich gufo mekoymoi. For shofar also letalt or shofar is also mukta. Kim letzorich gufo mekoymoi. Shofar is also within the same category and is also to move letzorich gufo mekoymoi. There is a great variety of discussion about this, about what is exactly considered Kli Shel Melachto Leheta, but I'm not going to go into that right now. The Sif Hey tells us, Yesh Matir Metal Kli Shel Melachto Leheta, Hafilu Mechama Letzel Lede Kikar Tinoik. That's also a Heta which is widely used. That is, you are allowed to use a Kli Shel Melachto Leheta, so that would be, what's an example of Kli Shel Melachto Leheta? A hammer, very good. So would you be allowed to move a hammer through, if you need to move a hammer, would you be allowed to do it through the kikar or tinok? If it is placed on if a baby would hold it, and you move the baby around, who is holding the hammer, or you put it on a piece of bread, and you put the hammer on the bread, and you're now moving the bread. If you'd be that, the kikar or tinok would be allowed to move it. Here the halacha is at some matir, but the Mishnah Berurah brings that many asa. Right, okay, we're ready for Seif Vav. Say, what was it? Yeah.
So, first of all, so let's say a cup, which I need.
Kli Shel Melachto Leheta.
On Shabbos, I'm allowed to hold it.
If there's absolutely no reason for it, if you're about to move it, to put it into the dustbin, because you need the space where the cup was, we'll be allowed to. But if there's absolutely no reason why you're putting why you're holding it, we'll be awesome.
And isn't it fitting, Chason Kis?
Yes, it probably is nowadays, yes. Yes, it probably is. Yes, you're right. Probably is today. Yeah. 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 Seivov. Now, Seivov is talking about the unfortunate scenario, and that's a new topic altogether. And the scenario, it's called, the situation is Keli which broke on Shabbos. So imagine a fluorescent light that falls on Shabbos and it breaks into 1,000 pieces. Imagine a chair that breaks on Shabbos. He'd have to move it. Imagine a door handle that fell off as you're opening the door. Imagine a door that came off the hinges on Shabbos as you're trying to close the door. These are all scenarios of something, a keli, which broke on Shabbos. And this Eve is going to discuss what's the halacha of something which breaks on Shabbos. Is it muktzah or not? And we're going to see it depends very much on what is the case, what the keli was, what the item was that broke. And with this we'll be able to identify if it's something which is allowed to move or not. And that's kol ha-keli m'shenishbru afilu b'shabbos. Any keli which broke on Shabbos. Mota letalt al shivreim. You're allowed to move the broken pieces on Shabbos. I'm repeating, kol ha-kelim shenishbru, all the kelim that broke, afilu b'shabbos, even on Shabbos, broken kelim, mota letaltem shivrem, you're allowed to move the broken pieces on Shabbos, ubelvat, provided, shiruim neshum melochem. This is only the case if the broken piece, the broken item, has got some purpose. The case is brought to Shulchan Aruch is, kugon shivrei arova lechasus be'achovis, when you've got a shivrei arova, broken pieces of earthenware, here the arava, which is like a pot, a china kind of a bowl, and that broke on Shabbos into 1,000 little earthenware china pieces. Are you allowed to move those pieces, broken pieces, or not? Halacha is yes, you are, because the broken pieces may be used as a lid. Nowadays we've got better lids than that, but in olden days, little pieces of broken pieces of china would be used as covers of lids of bottles or vessels. And because those little broken pieces would be used for that, therefore the halacha is it is not muktzah. So again, you've got a bowl which was made as a bowl, and it broke on Shabbos, it fell down, it was broken. And the question is, are you allowed to move those broken pieces? The answer is yes, because they still have ishtamshus, they still can be used as lids, and that's why it's muta. Question is, what's going to be nowadays where we wouldn't be using this? What would you say?
It would still be muta because, for example, young children could be seriously injured, or anyone
right.
else could slip or
good.
Be injured.
Good.
It would be muta.
That's a very interesting point. So, what you're referring to is absolutely correct, and that is our halacha we're going to be seeing later. That if something has a potential danger for the Rishus Rabbim, there is a hetzer to move it around. Imagine it's not sharp, okay? Imagine though it's not sharp. What would be the halacha then? It would be still muta?
No, muktzah.
And the halacha is yes. If there's no ishtamshus to it at all, nowadays, if it's something that you wouldn't be using today anymore, the halacha is it's taka muktzah. It's not, because shivrei kelim is only muta, broken piece only muta, if there is a certain use to it. It could be a remote use, but it must be some use. Yes. Even there's a chiddush because if it's before Shabbos, it's more obvious because if the fact that it broke before Shabbos and when Shabbos came in, he was already a keli with a certain ishtamshus. So that's obvious. That's obvious that it's not muktzah. But if something breaks on Shabbos, it's more likely to be noilad. You would have said that it's not. It wasn't a keli when Shabbos came in. He wasn't a keli. He was part of another keli which doesn't exist anymore. The chiddush is that it's something new. Normally goes according to when Shabbos comes in. And when Shabbos came in, this didn't exist yet. So who says it's muta? Because it's a new item. Before it was a bowl, and now it's a broken piece. The broken piece didn't exist as Shabbos came in. Yeah.
So about the tzachim,
which scenario are you talking about?
If king smashes on the floor.
And it's dangerous, not dangerous?
Even if it's not dangerous.
Yeah. What would you say?
Why is it different to any muktzah type of thing?
Yeah, because this is, the halacha is this is considered noilad. And the noilad is worse. And it doesn't go, you're... Yes, it is. It is, yes. Yes, we're going
to
speak about that. Comparable, yeah. Yes. No, potentially. Now the Ramona continues. So the other case is shivrei zchuchis lechasus bo piyapach. Similar case also with shivrei keli, which is muta, is a glass which broke on Shabbos, and you can still use it to cover up some sort of the glass is obviously not dangerous because, as you pointed out correctly, it must be something which is not particularly sharp or dangerous, and yet there is some ishtamshus to it. tis an ishtamshus to it. Now you can be using it for covering something or doing something with it, and therefore it's not mukta. But if there's no use to it, it will be awesome. But if there's no use whatsoever, it's going to be awesome. This is very important, Rabbi said, because very often things break on Shabbos. And then the first question you have to ask yourself, okay, is this something which still has a use or not? Imagine this chair over here, breaking on Shabbos, it falls down, and the thing comes off, the back or the seat comes off. What would you say? Is this considered muta osuna? Is it mukta or not? Very good, Binyamin, that's absolutely correct. And therefore, if there's still a use for it, okay, it's true. It's new because before on Shabbos when Shabbos came in, it was attached and it was a chair. Now it's not a chair anymore. It's not a chair anymore. It's broken into three pieces. You can't sit on it anymore. But now that polstered part might not be mukta at all because it can still be used for something else. You could sit on the floor. Tisha B'Av would be brilliant. And therefore there is still use to it. It can be used as a toy for the kids to play on. So there is still ishtamshus to it. And therefore the loch is, it's going to be mutter. But if there's no use to it, whatsoever, it's something which has comes no, with the greatest sense of imagination, you cannot use it anymore, it's going to be awesome. And this leads to...
You have to put it back on the chair?
No. Yes. No. I don't think so. I don't see why. Yes. No, if it's, it depends. Well, I'm talking about a case of something which came off on Shabbos. Why is it not boner? If it's something which regularly comes on and off the whole time, and every day you're busy a few times a day, yeah, maybe it's like a heter of delas, it'll be okay. But one has to really be honest about this. Okay, continues the Ramah, and that's your point. The Ramah continues and says, "If it's something which is sharp and it could potentially damage and hurt people, not necessarily small children, it could be anybody. Sharp things could be hurting anybody. Then could go in kli shuch is like pieces of sharp glass. Shenish bru, which broke ala shulchan table, or b'makom sholchem, either broke on a table or on places where people are walking. Mutar l'taltel ha'shvarim, you're allowed to move around the broken pieces, the glass pieces. You're allowed to move them in order that people don't get hurt. So this is also now a very important rule that this could be this would be going onto the fluorescent that breaks on Shabbos. I remember this happened once in Madeira when I was a bocha. The fluorescent fell down and it was smashed on Shabbos. Have you ever seen a broken fluorescent? It is dangerous. Yeah, because they're very small, it could be dangerous. So the halacha is it mukta or not? So this is a very good example to discuss because on the one hand, it's shivrei kelim, and the halacha is that shivrei kelim. What's the first question we need to ask when you've broken something that broke on Shabbos? Is there shamshus or not? Now, undoubtedly, little pieces of fluorescent. What is it? Metal glass? What is it? It's a type of glass. Yeah. So there's no shamshus to them. So really, the halacha is it should be mukta, and you wouldn't be allowed to. However, since it is, if it's a place where people walk, and it's a place that people could chasam get hurt, then the halacha is that it's mukta to move, and it's mukta because to protect people. The shaila is, what if nobody's actually going to get hurt? You know, because for argument's sake, it's a bochim's dira, and it's like shalashud this time. Not shalashud, it's like a couple of hours before end of Shabbos. Bochim are not really in the dira anymore. They're going to shalashud, dav mincha, and they're going to be out on Shabbos, Ma'ariv, and come back after. So it's unlikely actually somebody's going to get hurt. But it could still be. But it's not like when little toddlers crawling around. What would you say then? It could still?
That's okay.
Not okay. Still okay. Still muta? Why?
Because that's a case of where it could be dangerous. So,
since it...
In that case where someone won't get hurt still...
Yeah, I'm not absolutely sure about the halach. What do you say? More likely, also more likely muta? Muta. So I have a little bit of a duke, perhaps in Mishnah Berurah. Shlo yizuku behen, havli mu shel cheres also lefanoison. Te'ein motzei kol kach hezek. The Mishnah Berurah distinguishes between if it's earthenware or if it's glass. If it's glass, he said you have to remove it. You're allowed to remove it because it's dangerous. Earthenware, people don't get so much hurt. And since people don't get so much hurt with broken earthenware, he said it's not so sharp. So therefore, you're not allowed to move it. You're not allowed to move it. You have to wait till Motzei Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So if that's the case, so it looks like Mishnah Berurah is only matir to move it if it's sure that there is that if it's sure that a person gets hurt. China, he says it's not sure people get hurt, so it's also. So I learn from that. Perhaps, I'm not convinced, don't know what you're telling Rabbi Kagan, that could be the shtickle of Duke, that Mishnah Berurah is only matir if you're pretty confident that somebody's going to get hurt. If it's unlikely somebody's going to get hurt, could be still also. There's still a chance with China, somebody's going to, it's also sharp. But it will be all right. Pashtus will be fine. If it's a case of Pashtus will be fine, it's an unlikely scenario that somebody's, you don't have to suspect that. Shabu seems to be asking. I don't know. I'm not convinced, but I have a feeling it might be also. Yeah.
Does Rav Moshe Feinstein's Ronoblock of Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, say anything?
I don't know. I didn't see, but I. Yeah, if there's young children, if there is young children around, I would also agree that it is mutter. Yeah, if there's young children, it's always an increased danger, and I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. Did you want to say something? All right, okay, we're going to continue with Siv Zayin tomorrow, but Ezer Hashem, Yisbach Shemo. Tonight we learned the halach of klish melach teleheta, which is allowed to move unless there's no purpose whatsoever and you're moving it. Otherwise, it is klish melach teleheta is mutter letalteloi. We spoke about tefillin and shofar being klish melach teleis, and therefore only mutter to move letzerich gufa mekoymo. We learned about kelim shenishburu b'shabbos, the concept of broken kelim on Shabbos. We said that you're allowed to move them provided they have nishtamshes on Shabbos. If there's no use to the broken piece on Shabbos, it's muktzah. It's considered noilat, and it's muktzah to use. We spoke about the additional heta. If something gets broken and is dangerous for the public, that's mutter to move as well. Good evening, Abba Yisrael.